this essence of the ability of the secret team to exist at all in terms of this team or organization being able to first develop and control all foreign secret intelligence, and second, being able to then have full and unfettered access to the last authority to brief him on this controlled information. Comment just on this completely control of the entire system that enables the secret team to function.
It's a good thing that you picked that up. It's more important than most people have any idea, if they know about it, they have any idea about. Every single day, intelligence is collected from all around the world by all of our intelligence capacity, whether it comes from the Treasury Department or the CIA or where. During the night, that is carefully boiled down to the essence of the intelligence of the day. Partly because it completes the intelligence of yesterday, mm-hmm. and partly because something new comes in. And every once in a while, some more or less academic approach to open up a subject that needs to be described because it's very important. The agency has been given the responsibility of doing that evaluation and then the collation of all this and finally the presentation to the president. It's a terrific job they do. And if you get used to seeing Walter Cronkite on TV every night, you know, you think you're seeing the essence of the world news. Well, you've seen nothing until you've seen this secret intelligence report that is delivered every morning to the president. It's beyond even anybody's belief. It is so good. It is so important. The agency used to have a man named Kemp that was just astounding for this business. And some of their best men do this work. Well, it's done during the night. So that by about 7:45, if I'm right, maybe 7:15, anyway, right around 8 o'clock in the morning, a pre-brief is given in the Pentagon, way down in the basement, the double basement of the Pentagon, in a big audience room there for about 50 cleared people. That doesn't mean they're all there that day, maybe 35 or 40, but there are only about 50 people in the entire Pentagon, 35,000 people that are cleared to hear this pre-brief. And the pre-brief is a dry run. It's all the briefers of that day and all of their material, and it lasts maybe half an hour. And they make this briefing for the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the others. They all hear this same brief that day, and then they leap into their cars, go to the White House, and brief the President. That's why it's called a pre-brief. Right. And the President hears this entire briefing. Well, as you can see, that's a very formative thing. For instance, the cabinet officers hear that briefing. The president hears it. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff hears it. During the day, that becomes their agenda. Mm-hmm. Because let's just say something comes up during that day that involves Tehran. Immediately, they get all the Tehran experts on that subject. And what makes Washington run that day, whether people realize it or not, comes down from that pre-brief through the cabinet officers, through the top people. The cabinet picks up his phone as soon as he gets back to the office and he says, "Hey, Charlie, get into this for me right away. I want everything you've got on that." And the next man, and then go back and tell the Navy, do this, the Air Force, you do this, because the pre-brief is saying what's going on this day all over the world. The newspapers don't even begin to get into the depth of this brief. And then you begin to realize that to a considerable extent, the briefing of the president every day and the pre-brief systems provide the government with its agenda every day. And it's repeated the next day, and it's repeated the next day, you see, so that the government moves along this line because, as we said before, when you use intelligence to run your activities, you are reacting.
Right.
You see, you are responding. You're on the defensive team on a football game. You're not on the offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the power of this pre-brief every day from the intelligence inputs that has been leading our government since the 40s and has created a system of government that is not what government is supposed to be.
Right.
Government should be leadership. You see, just like I was talking about the Defense Department, we have a Defense Department. We don't have a War Department. It is so different. And that's why I say that the pre-brief, as given daily by the intelligence community, and usually the DCI is right there, and the way Alan Dulles preempted this role, well, it actually began with Beetle Smith, that he preempted this role and then moved intelligence right into the White House and began to lead the government every single day. It has an enormous impact on what we might call the political life of the United States, whether we realize it or not. Now, another thing, a working president has how many hours a day? 16? If you take up one of his hours in the morning, you've taken up 1/16 of the time of the most important man in the world. And the intelligence community has created a situation by which they preempt that time, and he can't get loose from it. He's there. Now, I don't know if Reagan went there every day, but you see, the system's there every day. It doesn't matter who's there in person, really. I think that we have not considered the enormous importance of intelligence as the guide for our government and what our government does, and the fact that it runs on reaction, and then the classic idea of government where the leader's up on a white horse, follow me. You know, he's leading and he's taking the government down the road. We talk about Mr. Bush's first 100 days of leadership. Well, I would imagine Mr. Bush hasn't missed one of these briefings. And I imagine that he's told his people, get on with that and do this. But you see, he's perfectly willing to accept, because he was a DCI. He's the first DCI to ever be president. This is the way he sees government to run. Mm-hmm. And he's not ever going to lead. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact he doesn't have any money in his checking account. But this is a very important subject. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on. Now, I went to these briefings for years. And I must tell you, they charge you up something awful. You come out of that thing after hearing everything that's going on, everything from satellite photos, you get the global weather conditions, you get everything that's going on during the day in that pre-brief. And that's powerful stuff. And you're so busy during the day catching up with the things that this pre-brief tells you to do that all of a sudden it's tomorrow and you hear another pre-brief, see? And it sets the stage of what goes on every day. If you haven't been involved in it at that point where you hear it and get the motivation, it's very hard to experience the impact that has on our government structure. I don't know what the government of England and France and Japan and then in Moscow are doing, but it wouldn't surprise me any that they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Did you attend these pre-briefs?
Every day.
I see.
Every day. Yeah. I was one of, I think, 52 people, as I remember, that had the clearance to go. And in my work, there were many times when I was one of the briefers, so that I was involved both ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But your pre-brief, would you participate then in going over to the White House afterwards?
No. Well, if you're the briefer, you do. But in my activities, the chairman would go, or somebody like that. No, I don't think I ever went to the White House to brief. In fact, by the time it gets to going to the White House, the group is cut down to the chairman, the DCI, and maybe one or two others. By that time, you're down to Cronkite, you know, you're down to the last talk. That's the way it should be. It's the thing just goes right down to an apex until you're talking to the president, see? And it's a very important briefing at that point.
Very distilled. Yeah.